Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken word. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the February 7th, 2020 edition. My name is Michael Amadei, one of your hosts. Sitting across from me is the man who keeps everything moving, including finding that awesome intro track that has a longer tail on the end there, which is so good. Thank you so much for that. Mr. JT, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. I remember making that file years ago, and every time I hear it, I'm like, that is exactly the right one. It just stretches out. We can talk for a minute. It's just... Mwah! You know what I mean? It's like pasta al dente. It's done right. You know?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Anyway, it is a snowy night here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
Colorado. I thought I saw the Night King a couple times.
Yeah.
I could have just been a really cold dude.
Probably. Just a really cold dude.
I saw a few White Walkers. Also, that, could have just been frozen people.
I'm pretty sure those are White Walkers, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. That's fair enough. winter. Actually, it's kind of like Schrodinger's cat. You know, it's not. Winter is not coming. Winter has not come. Winter is freaking here.
Yeah. I mean,
that's really the answer that we have right now.
And what I love is that we went from 70 degrees
on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, 70 degrees,
beautiful day,
sunny, warm day,
really nice day.
Next day, 18.
Boom,
just
hit.
Yep, instantly.
And today we were 18 degrees, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, right around there. And then tomorrow's gonna be like 52.
Yeah.
It says at least on my thing. It's just up and down here.
Our temperature is like Powerball numbers. You could probably get a winning card out of it.
But essentially, I'm parked in the roads are pretty treacherous.
Yeah.
It was really slick. It took me about an hour to get here, and it normally takes me like 15 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
20 minutes. I am parked in a literal snowbank outside.
We should be able to get you out.
Oh, we'll get out. We'll be fine.
Good tires, all wheel.
My car's fine.
Yeah.
My car's fine. But it was, that's why I pulled into the snowbank with such confidence. I'm like, this car's fine. It's great to be in here and be warm, be sitting here with you, JT, and to be on the line with everyone here. Now, this is our last show before we take 1 week off.
Yes.
We're taking next Friday off, which is Valentine's Day, because I don't want JT's wife to kill me. So this is more of a for
I don't
JT
die either.
Exactly. I was going to say for JT, this is more of like more of a romantic thing to spend time with his wife. For me, on my end, it is more about survival, because she's a nurse and she scares the hell out of me. So
as she should,
you know that better than anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So so JT, anything go down? I mean, we haven't really talked this week, man.
No,
we talked a little bit after my cheese debacle, but what about you? What's happened this week for you?
No class on Monday, which cracked me up. Snow.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The school freaked out.
That's right. Yeah.
Closed school. at 5. My class starts at 5.
Oh, so wow. Okay. So did they notify you as you were driving there?
No, they actually notified us about an hour and a half early.
Oh, that was good of them. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, but still, it was just like, psh, that's when my class starts. Awesome.
So you just hung out because you took Monday off, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Took Monday off to recoup, clean up a little bit, and then
recoup from the Super Bowl.
You know it. Barbecue wings, buffalo wings.
Yeah, it was good stuff. It was good stuff. You outdid yourself this time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course.
You?
You know, okay. Should I tell my sob story?
Sure.
This is the worst day I've had in a long time. The worst. When I left to go to the doctor's office on Monday, sure, it was snowing. No big deal.
Yeah.
Going to the doctor's, you know, not that bad. So I'm driving, and I'm listening to some good music, and everything feels good, and I'm, you know, like, all right, here we go. We're going to go do this. And right as I get to turning into the doctor's, my power steering goes out.
Ooh.
Now, steering a car without power steering from back in the day, that's one thing. Steering a car that's built to have power steering and doesn't when it goes out is a totally different thing. And JT, I have some decent upper body strength. There is no way someone under my body strength could have moved that wheel. It was insane.
Yeah.
So I get in, I park, and I look at my watch. I'm like, I better get into my appointment, right? So I go in, come back out to deal with it. But when I go into, so this breaks down, I immediately go into the doctor. First thing doctor says, so based on what we're seeing here, you can't eat cheese anymore. So within 10 minutes, my car broke down, and I was told I couldn't eat cheese anymore. Now, my question is, why am I going to the doctor now? Because why do I even care about living if I can't eat cheese? No, obviously.
Right.
Obviously, it's more just about an allergy, and it's about cutting things out.
Yeah.
And I'll be absolutely fine. The car got worked on, actually worked out perfectly.
Good.
I got it to a good place that you recommended, very close by. Got it fixed. Everything's fine. I like kind of stretching out that Monday was the worst day in a really, really long time, which it really wasn't. It wasn't that bad of a day. But I'd like to hear about how everybody else is doing here as we get into the show more and more, and just how the week's been. We've got a couple great things happening tonight. One, we're introducing the first three clues of our February 2020 Poet of the Month. We are also announcing our world-famous World Poetry Open Mic Poetic Form of the Month. JT will be giving you his favorite recipe for stromboli. And we're just going to have a great show. It's just going to be a lot of fun. That's really it, isn't it? Oh, and I'm going to tell everybody how to, because they're listeners of the show, to actually submit, be the first ones to submit to World Poetry Magazine.
Yes.
That's coming up. So that's something that definitely you're going to want to be listening for as well. And by the way, that's only for listeners of the show. If someone's not listening to the show and engaging in the show, and we know who everybody is, if someone's not doing that, well, that's not the same thing, right? So this is opening up for you way ahead of time.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, really quickly, if you're listening and you haven't yet and you want to support the show, go to Amazon.com, look up the 2019 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. It's an anthology of a bunch of the poets on the show. They send it in to help support the show. We put it in an anthology. We sell it, and the money, the proceeds from that goes to paying directly the bills here. JT and I are not walking away with wages for this show. This is literally just to keep us, keep the internet paid or keep the website stuff paid, the hosting paid, keep the Skype account paid, you know, all those things. And we really do appreciate all of the help that is brought with that. So if you want to support, look us up, World Poetry Open Mic Anthology 2019. And there's some previous ones on there too. Check it out. Okay, so before we get into it, we're going to do a segment of five unique callers. Five unique callers. But I'm going to do the rules first. And then we're going to do the three clues for the poet.
That's right. Month.
Got it. All right. Rule number one, no hate speech. We've never done that on this show, and we never will. So stop asking. Rule number two, we try to skew PG-13 if you can. We have families. We have younger people who listen. We want to make this a friendly environment for them. However, we're not in the business of censoring you. So If there's a good flow going, if it's artistic, we might not jump in. But if it gets gratuitous, we reserve the right to kind of jump in and be like, yo, dude, you should read this other time over there. You like that. Rule number three, when we come on the line, please be prepared with your poem. It just helps kind of keep the flow of the show moving, and it's just more respectful to the other listeners and the people on the line. Rule number four. Oh, I feel like I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you.
Good radio.
Good bless you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Please keep rule number four. Please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. That's just a, you know, it's just as a range. That's just out of respect as well. And the last rule, number five, is for JT and myself. We're always doing things on the show. We're always kind of moving things around. We do love your comments. We love your suggestions, but we just can't remember them if you're just saying them out loud when we're doing the show. So if you can, send them to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just say a suggestion for the show or concern about the show, and we actually will read it. We'll take it up. We'll talk about it off the air. And we've actually made a lot of changes to the show based on things like that.
Yeah.
All right. Those are our five rules. Now we need five unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
And Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
There are many times, JT, where I'm asked to describe you. And I describe you a lot of ways. And generally, I describe you as like a really kind of focused, you know, you're pretty intense when we're doing these shows, right?
Yeah.
But you're also kind of laid back at the same time. The only time I see you not laid back is when things are not going the way that, and it goes from 0 to 100 miles an hour where you're like flipping tables.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, you didn't flip a table here. That's never happened yet. But
I love how you say yet.
Well, you know, hey.
It's a potential. I know.
The road is long. The road is long. The dogs bark and the caravan moves on. Who knows? Who knows? However, just watching little tech issues going, and just watching you be like, okay, just getting a little bit better. But you know what? Now that we're back, now that we're in the segment, it feels better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah.
So we've got five great callers lined up. We're going to go through the callers, and then I'm going to give you the first three clues for our poet of this month. I did that so you didn't have to get there. I'm working with you, JT. I'm working with you.
Appreciate it.
All right, you got it. And then we'll go on to the second segment. So anybody who hasn't been able to get in, you'll be able to get in the second segment. Just hang tight. It'll go really well. Now, our first caller, are you ready, by the way? I just jumped right into this.
Ready.
Okay, so our first caller has a birthday today, I think. And it's someone whose voice we've loved from the very inception of this show. It's Ellie. Hello, Ellie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very, very well. Happy birthday, officially on the air.
I'm officially on the air. Thank you for remembering my birthday. I'd rather forget it.
Well, so how are you?
I'm fine. I'm good, really good, yeah. In fact, my grandson is sitting next to me here. I've got his name in the poem. He's part of the poem.
Oh, so, I love it. I love that. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. Well, how about this? What I'm going to do is, in the interest of this, because I'll just talk your ear off all night. So let's have you share, and then we'll talk for a moment after. Does that sound okay?
Sounds good.
All right. The stage is yours.
All right. This poem is called Proposal of Light, and it is a fairy tale. The queen of the fairies had to choose. Only a few months away, and her beloved daughter Maya would be 21. Many a fairy prince had asked for her hand in marriage. He would be king one day and rule this land of fairies and all creatures mystical. The queen announced that each prince must bring a gift for Maya. The queen had a prophetic knowing in all things of the heart. The gift would reveal whom the true love would be. The Princess Maya also was very sure her true love would be revealed. The gift came, but none were exceptional. Now, in this land of enchantment, there was a flaw. The nights were pitch dark. All were bound by firelight to remain indoors. Prince Town arrived with his gift, a crescent light trapped in a jar. As he handed the jar to Maya, he removed the lid. The light flew up, up, up into the dark sky, leaving trails of small lights in its path. They knew this was her true love indeed. The princess named it Moon, and the trailing light stars. And so now you know why lovers ever seek the moonlight. The end.
That was beautifully done. Ellie, mm-hmm. Way to go. We always miss hearing your voice here, and we understand things get in the way, but it's such a treat when you're able to call and share with us.
Yes, I know, and I have to get back. I missed you guys, too. I mean, we were together and doing all this for years now. When did this first start?
We started in late November 2012.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
We are nothing if not stubborn, Ellie.
Yes, that's right. And persistent.
You know, it's funny, right around the third year, people started taking us seriously. Up until then, they were like, oh, that's cool. But the moment we turned 3 years old, they're like, oh, you've been doing this a while. And now it's not even we don't even worry about it anymore.
I know. Oh, that's great. The one thing I'll have to talk to Dennis and figure out, I used to have an app or something that where I could actually listen to the show and talk to the other poets, and I've lost track of all that stuff. I'll have to have Dennis hook me back up on that.
Or Ellie, if you'd like. I mean, I'm still connected to you over Facebook as well, and if you'd want, we moved into a new platform just a little bit ago last year because the one we were using was crashing. So there's one that's free. It's an app you can use. You can sign up and have a chat room, and there's still a chat room going on. And if you want to go to it and just see what's going on in the chat room, you can always sign up. But if you go to worldpoetryopenmic.net and at the very top, you'll see this thing that says, we're now streaming live on Twitch. It's this little link on the very top of the page. Click on that, and it'll take you right to the place.
And you'll be able to listen to the whole show.
Yeah, and you'll be able to see the chat room moving and all that.
Yeah, oh, that's good. That's what I missed. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm back on here. Things are clicking. I've been writing a lot of poetry.
That's great.
1,000. I've gotten two poems away from 2,000 poems.
Oh, my goodness.
Since
the beginning of the year, right? No.
That's on allpoetry.com. That's where all my poems are.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, there's the book that I have out, too. So it's been fun. And I've been writing a lot lately, really back into big time writing. I'd like to get a book together with the fairy poems. I've got about 40 or 50 of them. So.
Oh, really? You should do it. It'd be great.
I was talking to Dennis today, and he's a great procrastinator. He should have his book out there by now. So maybe we'll have to work together on. If I get mine started, maybe I can get him get his started.
That sounds like a good plan.
Maybe we can procrastinate together.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's procrastinate.
I understand. Well, Ellie,
it's so good talking to you guys.
Good talking to you. We love you. Happy birthday again, and we really hope to hear some more poetry. Or even if you're not able to call, send it in to us, and I'll read it for you, okay?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but I enjoy reading them. I really
do.
We're back. I think we're back together now. This is it.
All right. Perfect. I love it.
I'm making a promise.
All right. I love that.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Ellie.
I love you guys, and you take care.
Love you, too. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Happy birthday again.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And that was Ellie calling from, is it Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania.
Wow, I forgot it's been Pennsylvania. So that's Ellie calling, leading off our first segment. We were really hoping to be able to get her in the first segment. It's great. All right, now we're going to go to another favorite poet of ours. She's been around a little bit less time on the show than Ellie, but she's been around a while, and she's been a very significant contributor to the show. Let's go to Mama Oladeji in Cleveland, Ohio. Good evening, Mama.
Good evening. Good evening.
Great to hear your voice. Ready. All right. That's what I want to hear.
I'm ready. I heard you speaking about the teeth, so I pulled out my teeth form. I've done that for you before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull out, and might be a good unrequited engagement, because I hate that you can't use teeth anymore. But when you hear my poem, you'll be glad that you're not able to eat teeth anymore.
All right.
On this occasion, I'm going to do three things. Sweet thing, I hate you now. Sweet thing, you did me wrong. I did you till the child came home. My friend called and said she was through with you. And I was jealous because I was weak and didn't have the wherewithal to walk away. Now my best friend is leaving me with you, leaving me to crave you all alone. I should have been gone. You took away some of my top of the list folks with your too sweet facade, and I still held on. Why did I say it was your sweet, soothing ways, comforting me, calling me out of my sleep to rendezvous with you. I have lost my taste for you. I'm trying to get away from you. Large portions, too much sugar for a dime. Killing myself for the desire of you. Addicted to the thrills you bring. Sweet thing, I want to hate you. Sugar, I'm trying to hate you. I heard that once I let you into my system, you'll start to cohort with the enemy and promote cancer inside of my temple. Sugar, I'm done with you. Unlike my friends, I am not willing to die for your sugary appeal. Word is, you cheat. And you like to sneak around inside of once healthy snacks and cause heart attacks, causing joint inflammation and arthritic pain, crippling me as you hide in edible staples, appearing as safe. But I will spit you out at the table. I hate you now, sweetie. Trick no good. Don't care that you're refined. Never again knowingly will I swallow you, only for you to consume me as a killer treat. Sugar, I'm dumping you for honey, and my honey can go in raw. My honey will keep my company, and I won't even miss you at all. Sweet thing. In peace.
Ah, love that one. Love that, Mama. Way to go.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That makes us happy to be sitting here on a cold, snowy night, you know?
Yes, that was done in personification, and that was to all my friends that want to give up sugar, and they know that sugar is not doing me right.
Hey, I got to tell you, I had to give up sugar, Mama. Back in 2011, the last soda I drank with actual sugar in it was 11/11/2011, and it was just my brother and my dad's birthday.
Yeah.
And I just remember realizing how much pain it caused me. It gave me, I think that year, six attacks of gout that lasted 3 weeks each. And,
wow.
I mean, it was just so much. So I just quit eating a lot of sugar. And you know what's interesting? A long time ago, I used to think that was impossible to do. And I'll still have occasionally little tiny bits. like a cookie once in a, you know, a month or so. But really, I didn't think I could do it. And once the pain of not giving it up became worse than the pain of giving it up, it was surprisingly easy.
Yes. And like I said, when I make a mistake and swallow a little bit, I'll spit it out at the table when I realize how weak I am. I'll just like, I hate you, sweetie. Trick no good. Yeah. I don't care that you're refined.
You know what?
I would never swallow you.
You're right. Now, can I tell you a crazy thing that I started doing? This is real, by the way. I'm actually doing this. This week, I got an email from the CEO of a company that I've been kind of in contact with, and I know this guy. And the company makes bracelets that you can use to shock you to break habits.
Oh.
And it's true. It's a company called Pavlok, P-A-V-L-O-K. And he sent me a message saying, hey, could I, you know, what would you do if I sent you one of these bracelets? And I told him I'll absolutely use it and try it. So apparently it's on its way. So I'm going to be wearing this bracelet where I can shock myself into habits. I know. And the best part is, I was talking to Christine upstairs about it. And you know what she said? She goes, you should get JT that app, and then you should have a word that if you, it's a very commonplace word that if you say it during the show, JT can shock you.
Wow.
No, I know. Well, no, I'm gonna give it a shot, but it's really, yeah.
That's really cool. It's like Pavlok's dog, right?
It's Pavlok, P-A-V-L-O-K.
I don't know, but it's a spinoff of Pavlok's dog.
Yeah.
The test that they did on them, scientific test. That's pretty cool.
Exactly.
Pretty cool.
I think. Well, we'll see if it works. We'll see if it works. Cynthia's worried I'm going to get addicted to the pain from the bracelet. Cynthia, nah, that's not really my thing.
All right. It'd be easier just to pull up my form and read that.
Well, hey, do it during the return, okay? During the return. Mama, we love you, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right.
All right.
All right. I think my friend Dennis is in the building. So
yeah, that's right.
He's
coming next.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mama. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, in the number 2 spot. You want to just go take it live? Let's go straight now to Dennis. Oh, did we get it?
Apparently not.
Oh, no.
I am so sorry.
All right, Dennis, can you give us a call right back? We somehow, the moment he clicked was the moment it was over. There he is. Let's do it again. Here we go. And we've got Dennis on the line calling from Michigan. Hello, Dennis. How are you, sir?
I am doing very well. Thank you very much.
All right. Happy belated birthday to you as well.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a good birthday week for myself, J. Todd Underhill.
Yeah, that's right.
And Miss Ellie.
It's crazy. Yeah. So
it
what
is.
What did you do this week for your birthday? How did you celebrate?
Well, we had a big party Sunday and had all the family over and cake and ice cream. And I've just been enjoying this week so much, sharing it with these two fine poets. We have a birthday, what's they call it? I forget. But it's a horse racing term.
Oh.
But,
Okay. I can't place it.
For the three of us. Okay.
But, like a triple crown?
We've been
it's a triple crown.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't quite that, but trifecta.
Oh, trifecta.
There
you go. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And we've had a lot of fun with that. I've talked to Ellie and called J-Todd, and it's just been a really good, fun week to share, and We will continue to do so as long as we are given the grace to do so.
Absolutely. And why shouldn't you? You know, I mean, that's the point.
That's right.
JT and I are so bad at celebrating. It's just a thing that we do. We're really good at doing the work, but we're horrible at celebrating things. So we realized a few years ago the smart thing to do is to actually have someone else plan the celebrations for us. So we have.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, it's so much better. It doesn't even take all that much. It's just a little bit of effort and we're good.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, Dennis, we're happy you're here. Like I said, happy belated birthday. So I'm going to give you the stage and then we'll talk.
All right. Well, I was planning on reading a couple of covers tonight. I told Susanna Bailey that I would be reading one of her poems, but I think I'll read that in The Return Engagement, a lovely poem by Susanna we have to look forward to. But first I'm going to read a poem by our birthday girl, Ellie LeJune. And the title of this poem is Having Tea with the Fairies in an English Garden. Oh, how I dream of crossing the pond to a land on England's shores, then onto the beaches of Cornwall's coast. I'd meander sea towns to my heart's content, off to the chime of Big Ben's song in London town, so royal, the Tower of London, where crowns do reign, hoping to meet a queen or two. Off to wander the desolate moors, the wild beauty so profound, this poet's imaginings doth hear Baskerville's hounds a-baying. Of course, a castle or two needs exploring, hoping to meet a ghost or two, an English garden to visit, wishing to have tea with a fairy or two, possibly be enchanted and have a dream come true. End of poem, a poem by Ellie LeJune.
Great cover. You know, Dennis, you have a really good way of presenting those things. And I think it's everybody loves having their work covered by you, including myself.
Well, I'd be welcome to do it, and I'm open to suggestions, and I enjoy doing it so much. There's so much good poetry out there. Mm. I mean, we encourage each other to write. Yes, write, but also share other people's poetry, because it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to share other people's poetry and just enjoy it all the more. And that's what we try to do here. We try to encourage everybody and build them up and that they become the next encouragers.
You know, I think that's a really great idea. And one thing that I just heard a musician I was talking to who's really kind of figured out how to make themselves very successful and financially and everything on their own. And one of the things he recommended, which sounds just like you, is that not only should you be a musician who's putting out your own music, but you should be putting out playlists of other artists that you love and things that you're listening to so other people can be exposed to new music as well.
Yes, we mutually encourage the arts.
That's it.
Whether it's poetry or music or our paintings, we encourage the arts. And it's the arts that enriches our lives. And we benefit from it in a big way, and it really becomes a blessing to us all.
That is absolutely true. And thank you for leading the charge with that on here.
All right. Well, I'm glad to do my part. It's always been a privilege to be here at my poetic home here every Friday night. And although I know you'll be off next Friday night.
Right.
You get a well-deserved break, and Christine gets a night out. Good for her too.
Yes.
We miss her. We'd like to have her voice back on the show. I just throw that in for free.
Hey, you know what? We understand. And there's permanently. Well, usually there's a microphone set up right here so she can come down and do it. And we'll talk to her. I know sometimes she's just had the week is so emotionally taxing on her. She's done, but whenever she can, we'd love to have her. We agree with you.
And when she's ready, she'll definitely be welcome.
You got it. Yeah. I think that's the right way to look at it.
All right. I've taken up enough time. I'm going to step to the side, let the next poet step up to the mic and say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan here in the third spot of our first segment. You know, it just occurred to me what we could do with that Pavlov thing is you could shock me when I start going too long.
Oh.
I'd be like, there's an so, option. How do you like to make your favorite recipe of bisque?
That might actually work.
It could definitely work. I think it would laugh. Unless I learned to love the pain from the bracelet.
Right.
Which is what Cynthia thought of, and I didn't consider that first. I don't know what to do. All right, let's bring her on. Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi. Happy birthday to Ellie and everyone having a birthday.
I know. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? There's so many people having... There must be something about that this last week with poets.
And I love that people come back to the show. People we've admired for a long time and missed. It's such a treat to get to hear them.
Isn't it? I totally agree. It is a treat, and it's like seeing a friend you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you?
So I'm having a great night.
Good.
I get to be inside at home. And I think no one can make fun of Vancouver anymore. If Denver canceled things because of snow, then you're not allowed to laugh at us anymore.
Well, that's the truth. We don't laugh. We know when things are canceled because of snow, usually it's because cars can't stop.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, because we'll go through about everything else. Wouldn't you say, JT?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a moment that a school bus can't put on the brakes and actually not, you know, slide through the intersection. That's when they decide to cancel things.
Actually, you guys don't laugh at this, but the rest of Canada makes fun of Vancouver because Vancouver doesn't have as many snowplows. So when it snows here, we just wait for it to melt. And the rest of the country, like, they don't like it. They make fun of us.
That's such an artistic way to go about it, you know?
It is.
It'll melt. I grew up in central Canada where, like, you actually shovel, but here people are like, oh, it'll melt, whatever. Just stay home. Right from home. Have a good week.
I think
the library closes and everyone's like, oh, this, and the buses stop and you just, like, sit at home and write. So.
That actually sounds fantastic. You have me considering a move to Vancouver now.
I
heard someone talk about if I don't go out and shovel my walk, it's just going to stay like that forever. And I go, well, I mean, it's, you know, not forever. I mean, a couple of days from now, it's going to be gone. But
in a couple of days, everything will be different. So
right.
Why worry?
Well, tomorrow it's going to be 52 degrees, you know, so it's I think they didn't appreciate me saying that, though. I think it was working against their point. Anyway, all right. So, Cynthia, before we keep talking, I'm going to let you read, and then I'll come back on. We'll talk after, okay?
Yeah, so I've had this wonderful week of just sitting at home with snow, and it's been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I wrote this little tiny piece. I called it Kernels of Light. Plinking piano notes shiver like falling stars, spiral in a universe of twinkling atoms. Patterns unveiled into galaxies, vibrations of sound into color, meteors, prayers through time, pieces of brokenness, sun within shade, pages open to light, story itself a phoenix, rising anew from the ashes of the old, the forgotten elevating into candescence. End poem.
Very, very nicely done, Cynthia. And just a really hypnotic kind of read.
Thank you. Yeah, my downstairs neighbors have a piano. I live in a house, so I've got the top half, and they have the downstairs half, so I could hear all the kids, like all the teenagers, playing while I was writing upstairs. It was just this really peaceful, almost like Christmas. Everybody's at home. You don't have to go anywhere, and you're just having fun.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I can imagine that being wonderful.
Yeah, and just like the kids weren't really playing songs, but they weren't that bad either. It was okay. So it was just like this total sensual experience.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, actually.
Anyway, so thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, Cynthia, as always. And we hope to hear from you during the return.
For sure.
Okay, great. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, where they let the snow melt on the street. Because they don't have enough snow plows, which seems like the most obvious answer to me.
Honestly, that happened down in El Paso, too.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. I mean, El Paso is kind of a desert thing. It's
I was kind of thinking, though, you could, every time you talk about El Paso, you should probably start down in the West Texas town of El Paso.
I can.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want me to, I'll start.
And then at the very end, I can end it with one little kiss and Felina goodbye. All right, let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia again. And let's talk to Egon, who, although it sounds like, Egon, if you can hear me, we can't hear you. We get this interference every now and then. Just hang up, call us right back. We'll take you live on the air, okay? All right. Hopefully Egon heard that.
And, I hope so, too.
Yeah, hope so as well. Unless he's taking a shower. That could make sense, that sound right there, huh?
That it would.
He's taking a shower, eating a chicken dinner in the shower. Have you ever tried to eat a meal in the shower before?
I think I have.
Actually. I think I did too. It was for a video.
Okay. Well, you at least.
Well, no, it was for a high school. It was like we had a TV show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's take this live here. Hello. Is this Egon?
Yep, it is.
All right. Hello, sir. Thanks so much for calling back. Sorry about that little issue. We can't really control when it happens. But you're live on the air now.
Well, it was good to hear Cynthia. She's been a mentor and an inspiration to me since I took a couple of her writing courses last fall.
Well,
it's been a lot of fun.
You and JT and I, three. She's been a mentor and an inspiration to us as well. So it's great to talk to someone else who's also felt the same way. And I find it funny because you've been sending me some really great lyrics, and I want to express appreciation for that. And I didn't even look to see when you were coming on the air, and I found myself singing a Marty Robbins refrain right before you come on the air. So it just works out well.
Well, there's a couple that I had sent to you, including the one I'm going to read tonight, which, I guess they are stories in a kind of a ballad form. And maybe I understand you've got quite... the lungs and a voice, and so maybe you can do something with it.
I'm doing some work that I'll send you here privately at some point. But what I'm going to do now is give you the stage and let everyone else hear your interpretation of it.
All right, this one is called Alberta Foothills. Out in Alberta foothills, under a silver autumn moon, a campfire was burning while a cowboy was humming a tune. In his mind, he was dancing with a fair girl of his dreams, a girl he had left behind, his angel in faded blue jeans. He looked up in the sky under no clouds. The night was clear. A gentle breeze was blowing. The whoop of an owl startled a deer. A coyote's yelp was heard, and the muted moos of cows, sparks from the fire were rising under a canopy of boughs. The cowpoke snuggled into his sack and succumbed to a deep sleep. Fire's embers were dying. While he was snoring, he counted sheep. The next day arrived early and clear with the rising sun. He sniffed the cool mountain air, sweet and crisp, since time had begun. The end.
I loved hearing you read that one. I could. It gave me a sense of the flow that you have in your head when you wrote it.
Yeah, well, you know, as I said, I think the last time I called in, I'm a bit of a stranger when it comes down to open and non-rhyming poetry. I'm from an old school, I guess, but as it is, this one was somewhat patterned after the in Montana's foothills, but it wasn't actually intended to be the same. Instead, this is actually a narrative that's based more or less on personal experiences when I've been bivouacking outdoors and hunting or fishing in various parts of British Columbia. So the sights and the sounds are real experiences.
Wow. I really enjoyed it. I really did, and I'm doing some work with it. It reminded me of JT. It reminded me of the song from the Three Amigos that Randy Newman wrote, "Blue Shadows on the Trail." Do you remember that one?
No, I don't.
I'll send you a link through email. Though it's Randy Newman, he nails the cowboy song style perfectly. And
okay.
So I'll send it to you as a token of appreciation for the work you shared with us tonight.
Terrific. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. You too. And that was Egon calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. We're getting more and more international all the time.
As we should.
Yeah, I mean, the world thing is not just a suggestion.
Right. That is very correct.
So let me ask you a question, because Cynthia, you brought up something on Facebook. Well, Jim brought it up too. You took a picture of the anthology, Cynthia, at this last week that she was reading it, and next to it she had one of our old World Poetry Open Mic mugs. And Jim goes, wait, they have mugs?
See.
And we had been sitting there thinking, well, you know, does anybody even want this? So I just want to ask in the chat room, do you think, should we start having that kind of thing? Is that something that, you
should
know,
we
it's...
put out other merch?
Yeah, should we do a mug? Should we do...
shirts.
Should we do stuff like that? I mean, is that something you're even into? If you're not, it's okay. There's no offense taken. You know, I just want to make sure that we're doing things. Yeah, okay.
You know,
so
what?
Dennis has a mug.
I can honestly see.
Why don't we have mugs in here? I haven't bought one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's our
you know
fault.
What? You're right. I think we should. We should put up our mugs because,
okay.
I mean.
We should probably do a redesign because
yeah,
it's our old logo.
But. Yeah,
okay.
I think
okay.
we should.
All right. Very good. So we will do that then. And well, okay. Perfect.
That,
so we'll do it. Thank you. Well, I just thought I would ask. You know, yeah. I want to make sure we're not just, you know, putting things out there that don't need to be there, right?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. All right. The time has come for us to share the first of our clues for the February 2020 Poet of the Month. It was a weird introduction. I don't know what I was thinking. I promise you I'm not sleepy or sedated. All right. And I don't want to be sedated otherwise.
Right.
So just because I know people love the Ramones out there. All right. So for the uninitiated, every month, first week, I give three clues to an anonymous poet. The next week, I'll give three more clues, and then on the third week, I will announce who the poet of the month is. This is the first week of the month, so I'm going to unveil the first three clues. If you think you know the answer, don't put it in the chat room. Send it to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form on the site. And if you win, if you're the first one who gets it, you get to choose a song to be performed in the following month's Studio X segment. So, for instance, since Studio X doesn't happen next week because we're not here, it'll be 2 weeks from tonight we'll do a Studio X.
Right.
And our winner, which was George from last month's, already sent in a few songs. So
okay.
I'm working on those already.
Wonderful.
But here are our clues for this week. Clue number one. Born into artistic inclination in the newest of the New World Yorks. I'll repeat that. Born into artistic inclination in the newest of the New World Yorks. Clue number two. The boat crew asked him to fly, and he did. Number two. The boat crew asked him to fly, and he did. Clue number three, war behind him, shape the forming minds. War behind him, shape the forming minds. I will put those up on our website, worldpoetryopenmic.net. If you click on Poet of the Month, you'll see the clues. I'll be posting them up as soon as we go into the next Colin segment. But those are our first three clues for this month's Poet of the Month. They're not easy ones either. These are hard ones, but once you understand the bio of the person I'm talking about, it'll all make sense.
Good.
But it's definitely a little bit more poetically done this month. It's a great poet, though. I'm really excited for people to learn. All right. It is time for our next five callers. And I know there was a few people who didn't get in. JT, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are your loins girded?
Girded.
All right, perfect. I don't know what that's about, but he has to do it before every call-in segment. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Hello, everyone. I'm Hollywood producer Charlie Pinkerton, and this is the word of the day. The word of the day is stodge. It's a verb. It means to stuff full, especially with food or drink, to gorge. In 1972, I'd just been married to what I thought would be the love of my life, number 15 for me and second for her. I thought we were a dream come true. Was I right? Nah, I was dead wrong. Turned out, while I was in Greece for the principal photography of the Wicker People with Burt Lancaster, she found a little love nest of her own, the corner booth of Spago, where she would stodge herself with L.A.'s finest corn dogs. No, not the cheesy wannabe Shakespeare's trying to peddle a new script, but actual corn dogs. When I came back, the addiction was complete, and our relationship was no more. When we last spoke, I lifted her chin gently to me to say goodbye, but instead, I had to wipe away a small smear of ketchup. I'll always miss her. And this has been Hollywood producer Charlie Pinkerton, and it's been the word of the day. You know, we need to have more of those things from Hollywood producer Charlie Pinkerton.
We do.
He's fantastic.
He is.
And he's got some of the best stories about Hollywood.
He does.
Okay, so we'll get some more. We got to call him and get this worked out.
We need a lot.
We do. There's. In fact, I feel like that could be a whole podcast.
It could.
If anybody isn't in on the joke, if you get a chance, go listen to "The Kid Stays in the Picture" by Robert Evans, and you'll get everything that just happened in that entire piece. All right, we are back here, and we've got four people lined up and a submission, JT.
Yes.
And a submission, but can I tell everyone listening how to do something?
Yes.
Please. All right. So, as most of you may know, we are in June having our first issue of World Poetry Magazine come out. It's a digital magazine. It's not going to cost anything. But it's going to be filled with poetry, essays, articles, everything pertaining to be a poet, being a writer, and the poetic life. We're really excited about this. Now, people who are submitting via Submittable, which will be going up here soon, will have a small fee to submit. And it's not because we're trying to make money off of it. It's because after talking to a bunch of people who run these magazines, when you do it for free, you get tons of stuff that no one's edited, the people aren't focused on. But the moment you have a small nominal fee, people will focus and be more intent and will actually fulfill the stuff.
Right.
Many, many editors have given me the advice to do that. So we are. But I got to tell you, it doesn't feel right to do that to the people who listen to the show because we know the level of work that is already here. We know all that. So this is for the people who listen to World Poetry Open Mic on a regular basis, who are members of the family, people who have called in. So this is how you can submit if you'd like. And we are looking for poetry. We're looking for essays, things like that. And we're starting this early with you. So World Poetry Mag, M-A-G, at gmail.com. World Poetry Mag at gmail.com. And all you have to do is say submission for magazine in the subject line and send us your work there. You may not hear back from us directly right away, but we will get to it and we will see it. All right, so that is how you can start to submit to the show, or not to the show, the magazine. All right, I'm seeing lots of things from Nightbot and World Poetry Open Mic here in the chat room.
Sorry, because I use the word submission.
You're just fine. All right, so let's get ready to head into a submission, JT. A submission. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right, here we go. This is from James Rothline. And he said he's having problems with the browser on his laptop, so he can't get on tonight. So he asked if I could read one or both of these. I'll read one here, and then if we can do another one. This one's called Wayward Longing. Wayward longing, climbing limbs of china trees, the weight of wicked wanting brings broken limbs and a falling. For you, for you, for you, the heart's insanity compelling a constant climbing to further devastation. And that's from James Rothline. It's called Wayward Longing. Way to go, James. So if you want to be like Jim and you want to send us poetry, you can. worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form. Just indicate that it's a submission for us to be reading on the show, and we will do so. All right, now we're going to head right into our first caller calling from upstate New York. It's Zach. Hello, Zach.
Hello, my friends. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. How's the weather up where you are?
Oh, it's been pretty good, but now it's starting to get cold. And, right now, tomorrow, it's going to be 18 degrees. So
yeah, well, that's what it was today here. So we are kind of lodged in snow right now. As the news refers to it, Snowpocalypse 2020.
Yeah, no thanks.
Fair enough. Although I figure like you being in upstate New York probably doesn't help your chances about that much, though, either.
But today was bad because they shut down all of my hometown schools, and yep. They only do that once every 2 years or something.
Oh, really? Yeah, they shut down all the schools out here, too. But it was because people couldn't stop driving this morning. A lot of people were having a hard time braking. So there's a lot of accidents and things.
First world problems.
You know, well, it is. I don't know. You could have a car in a third world country, and that's still a problem. I think first world problem is when they don't have the cheese you like on the sandwich at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. If my doctor had told me that I couldn't have cheese, I would just walk out.
Why am I even here? Out. Yeah.
It's like a second opinion, please.
Just turn around. Well, the thing is I knew she was right. I knew she was right because I can kind of see the writing on the wall. I'm not lactose intolerant, people, so don't be weird about that. But it's the side of my neck swells up like I just got. I don't know. I don't even know what how to reference it, but it's my body obviously reacts negatively to it. So I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, that wouldn't be possible for me because I make foot-long cheese omelets every morning. So I do about a quarter pound of cheese in my omelets every morning. So
I get it.
No.
That sounds amazing, actually. It really does. But the thing is, I've just decided now, I guess I'll just have to relegate myself to eating really good steak and salmon and chicken and vegetables, and that's okay. I'll live with that.
Yeah, that sounds all good. I personally love calamari myself. You know, I love calamari and salmon and stuff, but, you know, just so expensive.
I understand. All right, I'm going to give you the stage, and we will talk after.
Sounds good. This actually might be a record time because I wrote this poem between the first and second segments. Since I didn't get into the first segment, I decided to write this based, and thank you, by the way, because this poem is inspired by your prompt on the World Poetry Open Mic page to write a poem about being suspended in air. And I have had writer's block really bad for like a week now. So this is the first poem I've written in a week. So without further ado, this is called It Really Is a Small World After All. My stomach churns as I get ready to fly away. Adrenaline rises as I hear a voice say, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then my rocket blasts off toward the Milky Way. Before I know it, 2 days have gone by, and as I look out the window, I can't help but cry, because floating in the moonlight, even though I'm all alone in a sea of stars, it really hits home how small and connected we really are. End of peace.
Well, I don't know about myself, but I can tell you for a fact, JT is small and connected.
Well, you know, the World Poetry of my community is really small and connected, too.
Yep, it's very true.
Very true.
But, I mean, we're getting bigger by the day, but by the episode. But you know, it's good to be part of this family. And but yeah, I have had writer's block for like a week, and then I saw that, and I started thinking about what I would want to write about, and thought, well, why not talk about going to space?
Perfect. You know, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm happy that you're using the submissions again. It looks like people are enjoying them, so we're just going to keep doing them. I've actually got those already set up all the way through the end of the month.
That's so awesome. So, and yeah. You know, yeah, I'm glad that I could share it with you guys and all you guys in the poetry room, the chat room, and you know, you got other callers, so I'll get out of the way, but I will talk to you in the return engagement.
Sounds great, sir. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York. Not to be confused with downstate New York.
I wonder what that is.
Well, the reason I say that is I don't want people instantly thinking he's in the city.
Oh, right.
Right? Right. It's just a term there. It'd be like me saying, calling us from Long Island.
Right.
Right? Calling us from the Hamptons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
Actually, I like that, though. Calling us from the Hamptons. I could just say that about anybody. It doesn't even matter. I could just start saying fake locations everywhere. You know? I could say, here's Barbara calling us from Venus.
Actually, I like that. Calling us from the Hamptons. I could just say that about anybody. It doesn't even matter. I could just start saying fake
locations. Hello.
Hello.
Are you on?
Yes. 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 We are on. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling much better. I've been running around this week. I had a very busy week.
Oh, yeah.
I'll talk about it after my poem.
Sounds good.
I started this before we went out and then came back and finished it actually between segments and while Zach was talking, so.
It's a competition to see how quickly people can finish work.
Probably. It's you know, I was really busy this week, especially today. So it's called Believing in the Truth. I used to believe the truth was sacrosanct. It covered all like a blanket, and like a magician's cape, this would show the live doves or the bunny emerging as a chrysalis from within the folds. All would be okay, for it would only be magic. But it turns out the magic is a box of garbage piled upon my country, and the truth has flown away for a vacation to a place where more might believe in it as it flies into a new dimension, gone for now. And I am left with the bitter taste of strong defeat as I watch my beleaguered country try to lick its wounds and find there are still aftershocks from the earthquake that took the truth away. Shocks that can shake the very foundations of our beliefs. Right now, our way of life and constitution are on life support. And the only thing that will save them is the belief in everyone who can vote, that a vote is the most important mechanism for truth and will cleanse us of this malaise that hangs over us. So, until the day when my ballot is cast, I will work. For our ballots are our bullets, and we can move the needle toward the place where we are living the kind of life that is more than our ancestors ever dreamed, for we will have conquered the hatred between races, cultures, and genders, and will become the shining epitome of a place deserving the respect of the entire world again. End poem.
Very well done. It's been a crazy week in just this country in general, and in several countries actually for various reasons. But I can completely resonate with what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so my week was really kind of crazy because Monday we went to a sculpture field, and it was up in Coventry, Connecticut. And there were sculptures, metal sculptures, that this guy's father had done. The man, the artist, is David Hayes. Have you ever heard of him?
I have not.
Well, he's done some amazing stuff, and I put it on Facebook, so some of it you can see.
I should look. And I mean, honestly, I just actively ignore Covington, Connecticut. I just have no time
Coventry.
For that place.
Coventry. Coventry.
Oh, so that's different. Okay.
Say the town correctly if you're going to ignore it.
Well, I don't even have to say it correctly. Why does that even matter? I don't care what it has to say.
Yeah, it's actually the place where Nathan Hale lost his life.
Oh.
And he's buried in the cemetery there.
I still am not over that.
Yeah, no. So that's what I did Monday. And then yesterday? Oh, yeah, then Wednesday I had my book club. And then yesterday I rested. So I rested like Tuesday from that incredible trek across that land. It was like... He has it like spread out all over this like farm area that isn't really farmed, but it's just got sculptures all over it.
It's a field.
And then today I went to my letters meeting. So that was, you know, it was a big week.
Yeah, it sounds like a big week. Well, I'm glad you're able to join us though. It's awesome to always hear your work and then hear what you're coming up with. You know, I know as the show comes in and you kind of use that as the deadline to push things through.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, you don't have to apologize for it. It's how you do it. And that's it. It's fine.
Yeah, because it's like I said, today and today after I went after lunch, then dinner, and it was one of those days where I had like no time to do anything. So I wanted to get on the show, but then I want to spend time with my daughters, so it's, you know.
Hey, you're on the show now. You did great.
Thank you. And, you know, it's really always very nice to come on the show and hear everybody's stories and what's happened. And I'm glad that Zach was able to break through and write a poem this week. Yay, Zach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's always good. So anyway, I'm going to get off and let the other person get on.
All right.
Okay, I'll talk to you in the return.
Talk to you then. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Vancouver. See? You see wherever. That's Barbara calling from Little West Texas town of El Paso. Right?
Right.
I mean, really, all things being relative, doesn't really matter anyway. This is where I start getting real existential on the show.
Oh.
And actually, the gentleman we're about to bring on the show is probably perfect for this. Let's bring on Stan. Oh, Stan, are you there?
Are you kidding me? Wow.
All right, so Stan, we're already having issues with the phone line. If you can hang up and call us right back, we'd really appreciate it. I'm so sorry. It's on our end. All right, so, Jetty.
Yes, sir.
What do you have planned for this week?
Homework.
That's it?
And work.
So work at home, not work at home. Just work.
Just work.
Well, that doesn't sound very fun. Let's go to Stan Live. Hello, Stan. How are you?
Hey, I'm back.
Woohoo!
Thanks for calling us back.
Right. Who is this woman that has me pushing numbers?
I ask myself that all of the time. And the fact is, I'm not even sure there is a woman.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Okay.
This gets darker. Okay, anyway, so how's everything where you are?
Actually, fairly peaceful.
I love hearing that.
Busy but peaceful.
Have you noticed those go kind of hand in hand a little bit?
Yeah.
The more busy you are, the less time you have to get yourself in trouble.
Oh, yeah. That's the fun part, trying to stay out of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely it is. Absolutely. So how about this? I'm going to give you the stage, and we'll talk after, okay?
All righty. I think that'll work. All right. Well, what we had going on at one of the other venues was an idea of doing a poetry, or not poetry, but something for Black History Month. But Paul Sampson, who runs the Inspiration Factory, decided he didn't want us the usual fare. Didn't I know Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers? He wanted us to find others of merit. And I decided that if I was going to find someone of merit, it was going to be a poet. So I'm going to read a cover tonight. And this poem is titled The Poet and His Song. A song is but a little thing, and yet what joy it is to sing. In hours of toil, it gives me zest. And when at eve, I long for rest. When cows come home along the bars, and in the fold I hear the bell. As night the shepherd herds his stars, I sing my song, and all is well. There are no ears to heed my lays, no lips to lift a word of praise. But still with faith unfaltering, I live, I laugh, I love, I sing. What matters you, unheeding throng? They cannot feel my spirit's spell. Since life is sweet and love is long, I sing my song and all is well. My days are never days of ease. I till my ground and prune my trees. When ripened gold in all the plain, I put my sickle to the grain. I labor hard and toil and sweat, while others dream within the dell. But even while my brow is wet, I sing my song, and all is well. Sometimes the sun unkindly hot, my garden makes a garden spot. Sometimes a blight upon the trees takes all my fruit away from me. But then with throes of bitter pain, rebellious passions rise and swell, but life is not just fruit or grain. And so I sing, and all is well. That is The Poet and His Song by Paul Lawrence Dunbar.
Very, very well done. I really like that piece you chose as well.
Well, I thought if I'm going to do this, it's going to be a poet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, and what this man accomplished, he was born in 1872, and what he accomplished in his 33 years of life was impressive, including doing the lyrics for the first African-American musical.
Oh, wow.
Produced on Broadway, all African-American. And it later toured New York and even toured the United Kingdom.
No kidding.
He was quite an amazing young man, but back in those days, tuberculosis was lethal, and it claimed him. But he left quite a legacy. He left a great legacy, he did.
It certainly sounds like it. I'm going to have to look more into him as well, because I think that just sounds really sounds great.
Indeed, it was. And that when I read a little bit of his bio, and then I was reading some poetry, and I came upon that one, The Poet and His Song, and I went, oh, yeah, that's the one. That's it right there.
Yeah, yeah. I loved it. Thanks so much for sharing it, really.
Well, my pleasure, and on to the next.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you during the return.
Of course.
And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Home of the brave and of the free. I can say that about any state.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Now we're going to go to the great state of Texas. We're going to talk to Dennis John. Hopefully the phone still works. Hey, Dennis, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Wonderful. You're on the air. Thanks so much for waiting patiently. How's everything going where you are?
Oh, everything is fine. I'm still breathing.
Well, that's the biggest thing right there. That's the first step.
That's a nice thing.
Yes,
that's a nice thing.
Yes, it is. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to step back let you read, and then we'll come back on and talk, okay?
Okay, terrific. Should I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is called All I Need. I don't care for drinking all night. Don't need new clothes that hang just right. I don't need sunny spaces in lands afar. I don't even need me a Cadillac car. I don't care for running around. Don't need to be close to the town. I don't need pretty faces make me feel good. I don't even need me a home, but I should. All I need is someone to hold me tight. I'm unconcerned if it's day or night. I don't care if the stocks are not right. I only want someone to hold me tonight. All I need is someone to hold me tonight. I don't care if it snows or hails. Don't need real cute manicured nails. I don't need cheating women telling me lies. I don't even need me a pie in the sky. I don't care when the sun don't shine. Don't need a compass to tell time. I don't need a reverend to tell my tale to. I don't even need a reason to be cruel. All I need is someone to hold me tight. I'm unconcerned if it's day or night. I don't care if the stocks are not right. I only want someone to hold me tonight. All I need is someone to hold me tonight. And all finished.
Loved it. Loved it. That now that's a to me that's a country song right there.
Yeah, it's a blues song, really.
Yeah, okay, yeah, blues song. Okay. Well, I can definitely hear
it. It could go either way.
Yeah, they do share that kind of lyrical tradition, don't they? But I think it is. It was really enjoyable. I liked that quite a bit.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thank
you. I appreciate
it. And thanks so much for sitting on hold and everything. And hopefully you have another one to share with us during the return engagement. We understand if not, but the invitation is always open to you.
Absolutely. I'm enjoying your show.
Ah, thanks so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you for everything.
You got it. We're happy to have you. So we'll talk to you very soon, okay?
Okay, bye-bye
right,
now.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye. And that was Dennis John calling from Texas. Not to be confused with Dennis calling from Michigan.
That's right.
Both incredibly talented poets, and we're very happy to have both of them. And different styles, too. It's been a good night so far.
Yeah.
All right, but now it is time for me to unveil our poetic form of the month. That's right. So what that means is every month there is a new poetic form. Sometimes they're things you've heard of before. Other times they're really out there, and they're a little complicated, like this month. Now, if you want to find out, you can also go to worldpoetryopenmic.net, click on Poetic Form of the Month, and this will take you right there. It's the February 2020 Poetic Form, and here it is. The Poetic Form of the Month is Imayo. The Imayo is a four-line Japanese poem that has 12 syllables in each line. If a 12-syllable line sounds unique for a Japanese poetic form, don't worry about it. It's a planned caesura or a pause between the first seven syllables and the final five. The 5-7 syllable splits are the familiar patterns found in other Japanese poems like haiku, tanka, and senru. The Imayo was originally written to be sung, but that's not a requirement. Which is kind of funny thinking about the form one. The subject matter, though, is totally free range. So you can choose whatever you want it to be about. So you can read about this by going to worldpoetryopenmic.net, clicking on Poetic Form of the Month, and then looking up Imayo poems. There's quite a few that I found.
That's four lines, 12 syllables each
12
line?
Syllables in, yeah, four lines, 12 syllables in each line, and there is a planned pause usually between the first seven syllables and the final five. In each line.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty interesting. So yeah. I think this is going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
This is definitely not for the weak, but I think every poet listening to the show is definitely up for it. All right, so looking at our numbers here, that means we're going to a little thing we like to call the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. So that means anybody who wants to call in for the first time tonight and share a poem, or anybody who wants to call back and share a piece, you can do that. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back. JT, did you know we're back?
Yes.
Because we are.
Yes. We are.
Because you're the one who actually turned the mics
on. I hit the button.
Of course you know. All right, everybody. Welcome to the return engagement. We've got six great people lined up here. But in fact, we actually have more than six because we have a submission we're going to do. So we're just going to get right into it. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Here we go. Now, by the way, if you're on the line, keep in mind it may be that because the phone system's acting a little strange tonight, it may start cutting out. You might have to call us right back in. Just be aware of it. Just listen. We'll tell you when to do it. It should be easy to go. All right, here we go. This is from James Rothline, called Tears as Winter Rain. Tears as winter rain, freezing the fire of your autumn anger, and so you choose to never cry again. And that was Tears as Winter Rain by James Rothline. Very well done. Very well done, James. Thanks so much. We look forward to when you're able to join us again, but we're happy that we had your work to share with everyone this evening. All right, now we're going to head in our first spot. We're going to go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
All right.
Good show we've ever having tonight.
It's been a great show.
What a variety.
Yeah, I love it. I love how just it just ranges so far out there. And I'm sure this return engagement will be another awesome segment. So you're set to kick it off. So I'm going to step back and let you read, okay?
All right. Thank you. This poem is a poem written by Susanna Bailey. The title is Songs of Home. Homesickness grows in me greedily. As an unborn child, a parasite, she swells and kicks, consumes me, and keeps me from my sleep. Rough seed, conceived in impermanence, layered as a pearl with songs of home, frost and soft winter light. Not yet, I say, not yet. She fights. As all life does, the lintel of remembrance is cracked, and I am torn. In this new land, she or I must be born. End of poem. A poem by Susanna Bailey, our Aussie poet friend, and we're glad she's part of the family.
Absolutely. We're very happy she's part of the family. And I think you do her a lot of justice reading her work like that. That's a really lovely thing.
It's easy when you got a good script.
Hey, you know what?
And Susanna never disappoints.
I was going to say, you know what's funny? I always hear it. It's easy when you have a good script when actors want to blame it on somebody. But but you're good. You're generous when it goes well also.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Dennis, thank you so much, and I'm so happy to hear you're having a great birthday week and everything there. And it's more about the togetherness and the community. I know I'm the same way, and we just look forward to talking with you in 2 weeks' time at the latest.
Well, I don't know if I'll be available then. I'm going to be going on vacation to Hawaii real soon, and it's going to be rather hectic. I will try to connect if I can. Perhaps, as JT has suggested, I might send in a poem.
That would make more sense.
So
yeah, because it'll be like 5 p.m. your time when you're in Hawaii. 5 or 4? It's 5 because we're in daylight savings right now.
I will do what I can do to stay connected with this wonderful program. And I hate to miss it on vacation, but if that happens, I'll be back not to worry. I'll be back.
Dennis, go enjoy Hawaii, my friend. Don't you worry about us, man.
We'll be here.
Well, I'm going to miss family. Oh, you guys are family.
That's true. Right. I feel that way, too.
All right. I'm going to step aside, let the next port step up to the mic. I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis Kahn from Michigan here in the first. Why don't I talk about the second? It's because of the submission. He's in the first spot here in the return engagement.
I got what you're saying.
You understand what I was talking about?
I was like, what are we talking about, Michael? This is the return engagement.
Michael, where you're going, we cannot follow.
You don't know how many times I've wanted to say that.
I'm like, but over the horizon, there's an eagle calling me. You're like, Michael, whatever. Just go buy the taco. Like, it's not
right.
a big deal.
It's not a big deal. It's
just a taco truck right over that hill. Just go. I feel like I'm being called by Zeus. Okay, great. He's been watching Alexander again. Okay, awesome. All right, here we go. Let's go to upstate New York. Let's visit with Zach. Welcome back, Zach.
Hey, good to be back. How are you guys?
Doing really well. Are you eating? Are you drinking any more of that peanut butter liqueur that you had?
Peanut butter whiskey.
Peanut butter whiskey.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, you know, I have work tomorrow, so.
Oh.
But yes. But
no. yeah.
But no. It actually smells like a Butterfinger, and actually, like, it has, like, it, like, you can taste the whiskey, and then it's a peanut butter aftertaste, and, like, it actually has an actual peanut butter aftertaste.
Really? JT,
yeah.
What do you think of that? Would you drink that, JT?
I'd give it a shot.
You would?
I mean, that's something that you should drink straight up, but, like, it burns, but it is, But I mean, you know, it's something that could definitely go with as a shot with something else.
Don't get it twisted. It's 100 proof. Just got a peanut butter aftertaste.
Wow.
So JT introduced me to a pretty dangerous drink, which is called the Myers and Pineapple drink, and it's just exactly what it sounds like: Myers and pineapple juice. Yeah.
Golden pineapple,
and it is a dangerous drink as well. I haven't had it in a while. You had one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But whatever. Now we don't need to talk about that. Let's do this, Zach. I'm going to let you read. We'll talk after, okay?
All right, sounds good. So I got the 2019 anthology. Woohoo! And I got that, and so I was looking through what I submitted, and, you know, because, like I said, I've had writer's block lately, so I'm going to share one of the poems I've shared before. This is called Out of the Darkness into the Light, and it is the actual title of my book that our very own Michael Amadei is helping me with, and I can't wait for it, and so this is a book, it's basically my life story, and here we go, Out of the Darkness into the Light. Years ago, I was a teen. I was afraid to make friends because kids were mean. So one day, I decided to wander around my mind to see if there was any strength I could find. I thought if I could be strong, it wouldn't hurt when they called me fat and stupid. That once they realized it didn't affect me anymore, they would get bored and move along. I thought I knew where I needed to go, but got lost. I found myself somewhere I didn't know. Finally, I found a door, and when I walked through, all I saw was darkness, nothing more. I tried to find my way back, but after a while, I made myself so scared I got dizzy and fell. Then everything went black. When I came to, I realized trying to ignore my feelings wouldn't make me strong, that it wasn't my job to prove they were wrong. There in the darkness, I realized I was strong all along. When I believed in myself, I got back my sight. It felt like a lifetime, but I finally found my way out of the darkness and into the light. End of peace.
Very nicely done. And of course, I'm familiar with that one, but I still really, really enjoy it, and I can tell the chat room absolutely loves it.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I thought of the title, and then I'm like, you know, I don't have a poem that is of that title, so I thought, you know, what's my life story? And, you know, I think it's one that everyone can relate to in some way.
Sure.
The fact, you know, being bullied and thinking, you know, oh, if I'm strong, then, you know, they aren't going to bully me. And I thought that being strong meant pushing my feelings aside. And I realize now that that was toxic. And
it absolutely, you know, is, yeah. I think there's one thing missing from this poem, though, which is a sequel where you take revenge.
Take revenge. Well, no, it's like in one of my other poems, I said that I actually did. Just because you're bullied doesn't mean they're not being bullied too.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've noticed that phrase hurt people is really very accurate, I think. But I guess what I'm hearing is, you know, for the sequel, it'd be like, you know, I finally stepped out of the darkness into the light, where I found a team of 5 dragons that were willing to do my bidding. So I sent them out. No, I'm kidding. I really do appreciate the work, and I've been kind of neck deep in your book here for a little while. So looking forward to talking with you more about it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm glad I got the book. I'm reading forward to looking forward to everyone's work, and you know, just to keep on keeping on, and can't wait for the magazine. That's actually, my birthday is June 5th. So
all right,
it'll be coming out around my birthday.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to that. It's a lot of work ahead of us too, but I think it's going to be awesome.
All right. Well, I will let you guys get to the next people, and it was good talking to you. And obviously, we'll talk more during the week.
All right. Sounds good. Talk then.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York. Man. You know, think about it. Probably the next time we do the show, I will be wearing a shock bracelet. I guess I can wear it on my ankle, too.
Ooh.
Or you can attach it to wear it different places.
Yeah.
But there's people who've, like, lost 130 pounds with this thing.
Wow.
Cut sugar cravings, all that stuff. My thing is, I just want to find... The thing that I think about is, I don't think about the traditional stuff.
Right.
I start thinking about... How can I use this? I really do. I think about things like this. How can I use this to make myself absolutely fearless? So it's like anytime I feel any sense of fear, I'm like, zap, zap. How do I use this to drain all of the weakness out of my body?
Wow. Burn marks from his... Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
What's this? They go, we've created a monster. Pavlov taught me everything I know. All right. Well, on that happy note, let's go to Barbara, who's calling us from Barbados.
Yeah, I'm listening to you talk about your shock bracelet. I have no idea what that is, but
it's a thing that I've been sent called Pavlok, and it's I haven't gotten in the mail yet, but it is a thing that people use to change habits. So there's people who can do things like beat sugar cravings. And
so when you're doing something that you shouldn't be, you shock yourself, and then it
or you
changes.
Can have you can hand it to somebody else. I guess. I mean, I haven't gotten deep into it, but there's about 50,000 users.
That would be scary for me.
I understand. No, it is kind of scary, but there's 50,000 users who absolutely love it. There's a lot of records of people doing some really good stuff with it, and I'm just kind of playing around with thinking about ways you could use it, and of course, I'm not being serious about trying to drain weakness from my body. I'm just playing around with that, but I'm interested to see what it's like, and I'm getting it to, you know, I've been able to be in touch with the CEO, so I kind of am getting this to try kind of without having to really pay for it and do all that, so we'll see how it goes.
They want you to be their guinea pig.
I think once, if you're looking for a guinea pig after 50,000 users, I think that's something
well,
else.
Well, that's many. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Okay, so when Stan was talking about getting poems for Black History Month and African American poets, I thought I would look because since I'm getting involved with all these suffragettes, and I went, oh, I forgot to add that in. That's what I did. That's what I did Wednesday instead of going to. I didn't have my book club. I went to the suffragette thing. There's an exhibit at the local Greenwich Historical Society of the suffragettes, and so we all, 10 women, went over there and saw the exhibit, and it's quite awesome. It's about all the women from Greenwich and people in Connecticut who were active in the suffragette movement. They had a few costumes. It wasn't a huge room, but it was really very well done. Anyway, there were quite a few people in the movement who were African Americans. And so I looked to see if there was a poet there, and I came across this woman, Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. She lived from, she was born in September 1825 and died in February 1911. And she lived in Baltimore, and she has quite a few books of poetry. But her claim to fame in the suffragette movement is that she addressed the National Conference of Suffragettes when they were meeting in 1860-something. So she, besides she's a poet, she's a suffragette. And so the poem I'm reading is called A Grain of Sand. And it's a poem by Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. And if you're interested, it's on Poem Hunter. Do you see this grain of sand lying loosely in my hand? Do you know to me it brought just a simple loving thought? When one gazes night by night on the glorious stars of light, oh, how little seems the span measured round the life of a man. Oh, how fleeting are his years with their smiles and their tears. Can it be that God does care for such atoms as we are? Then outspake this grand grain of sand. Hold it. This website just changed my poem. Hold it. Go back. Then outspake this grain of sand. Go back. I'm sorry. The website just moved my poem. In the middle. So it's not my fault. And now, of course, it's not going back fast. Oh, I'm sorry. Not going back fast. It's causing a problem.
This does sound like performance poetry.
Yes, it does.
Going back fast.
It shouldn't be. It should not go
back.
Causing
a problem.
So slow.
This website has cut my rhymes, man.
Here it is. It's coming back. So, coming back, come on, right. Faster, a little faster, poems. Anyway, just to know, she has quite a few books of poetry, if you're interested in seeing her work. Here it is. So, it's A Grain of Sand. Should I start all over or continue? I'm afraid that they'll cut me off.
Yeah, just, okay, just start, try to get a run-up then if you're worried about it cutting off.
Okay. So I went, oh, how fleeting are his years with their smiles and their tears. Can it be that God does care for such atoms as we are? Then outspake this grain of sand. I was fashioned by his hand In the starlit realms of space, I was made to have a place. Should the ocean flood the world, were its mountains against me hurled, all the force they could employ, wouldn't a single grain destroy? And if I, a thing so light, have a place within his sight, you are linked unto his throne, cannot live nor die alone. In the everlasting arms, mid life's dangers and alarms, let calm trust your spirit fill. Know he's God, and then be still. Trustingly, I raised my head, hearing what the atom said, knowing man is greater far than the brightest sun or star. And that's a poem by Frances Ellen Watkins Harper.
I know the website kind of threw you off there, but a great read and a wonderful choice for a poem. Thanks for reading it for us.
Yeah, I'm very happy. Thank you. I'm very happy to have found that and glad that I could bring her out into the light for some people. You know, she's a beautiful poet.
Yeah, yeah, really.
And nobody knows anything about her. So anyway, thank you, and thanks for the show. And I will submit to the magazine something. And how long? You didn't tell us how long that could be.
Well, I mean, I think it's we're not really worrying all that much about the length of the poems or the article. I mean, I think articles, we're probably running around like 5,000 words max. Essays probably about the same max. Poems, you know, I think using your best judgment at this point. You're the first people from the show are the first, so we probably will be a lot more stringent on that. But for you, I'm kind of allowing it to be, you know, using your own judgment.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
Okay, Michael, thank you, and you, JT, have a great week.
We will. You as well. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Yep. Bye.
And that was a Barbara calling from Connecticut.
Connecticut. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Now, we're going to take a sojourn all the way to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. A place where it is warm. Hello, Cynthia.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah, that was really interesting to be just kind of lost in time with Barbara's piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was powerful to hear a voice from a long time ago.
You know, I find that as well, and it's one of the reasons I've been looking at a lot of the ancient Greek writings as well. Of course, those are translations and kind of modernized and everything, but still hearing the flow of it, that stuff is so fascinating. But when you're able to hear the actual words from somebody, it's really, really powerful.
She brought them to life beautifully.
That's true. She did. Yeah.
So my piece right now is it's written for my friend Jude Neal. She was an opera singer for a long time, and we've known for a while, but she just announced publicly that she won't be able to sing anymore. She has Parkinson's, and so it's like she's been really, really brave about everything, but I also felt like it's okay to grieve. So she just made the public announcement a while ago, and I wrote this poem for her. It's called Silver Dawn. A requiem for your voice, an elegy to that part of you that sang in vibrations through me, the high of my poetry life, tangerine, lemon, lime, now sand in the sky, particles of sparkly frost on a winter beach, light from an ended star, over and over in memory, the cantata of elevation, embodiment of being, the sea caressing you, taking you home. It was love you were giving, breathing, the safety of who you are, filling the library, the way you held the room. I grieve, too, those vocal cords that no longer reverberate with your love, given in other ways. The most beautiful voice I've heard, the turquoise of a New Zealand powwow, the first time I heard your ruby notes floating through the air
lifting me into the heart of our community. I grieve the colors you no longer sing, how you sang my poems to everyone in the library. The night you called to say you were lying on a couch in a ball gown before a show, and I knew I'd won the lottery of sister journeys. Lavender tears sing for you, the echo of vocal cords gone like my grandmother's love, only in memory. For the first time, your Parkinson's is real, more than graciously shaking hands. I want to hate it for taking an expression of you, silencing a significant element, or promise to live the libretto of your singing in all that we do. But I know it just is. I think of how Beethoven composed while deaf, but this is more unfair, cut off from giving. We make tunes with icicles along the frozen river, how it felt after concussion when I could no longer speak intelligently, partnered with a young genius, searching for my words at home in hers. I turn to all the other ways you blossom, the fluorescence of strong words on paper, and all those vibrations that once filled concert halls, now singing between lines. Still a loss, a hard goodbye, and all the wreaths I lay on the grave of that beautiful opera voice as he was sent to the stage in poetry. Or pretend it's okay that we find your essence in other ways, that you will go down singing with your body. But it's not okay for anything to be taken from you. All the flowers in the world don't stop it from being a funeral. End poem.
That was really beautiful.
Thank you. I was thinking of, and, you know, I wanted to let her know it's okay to grieve because she's just this totally positive person. She's got two new books coming out, and one of them at the end of February is sort of her response to not being able to sing anymore. I think it's going to be, I think it's one of those beautiful poems in Canada, so I get to read it when it comes out.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But I also wanted to say it's okay to grieve.
It's hard sometimes to accept that. There was a period of time. And obviously it wasn't what she was going through, but there was a period of time when I was singing opera for a living, and I was silly enough to still be doing martial arts at the same time. And I was accidentally punched in the throat during training, and I lost my voice fractured my larynx. And the doctors told me that I was lucky to even be able to speak, that I was never going to sing again. And I didn't speak for 6 weeks. And then I finally, my voice teacher was really instrumental in this. Finally, I went back to the doctor and they, you know, I still have the x-rays and everything, but they told me kind of how to nurse it back. And 3 months later, I was singing professionally again, but I thought I wasn't going to be able to.
And with my concussion too, like I got my words back, but I remember being on right after my concussion last summer, I was on the phone with this young poet, Isabella Wang, who I think is just a genius. And we're planning our set for Word Vancouver. And she just had all these genius ideas and I couldn't make the words come.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're back, which is great. But yeah, and for Jude too, like she's still, I think she's, all her energy is going into poetry and you're going to see some really great books coming out of hers. So there's that. But anyway, thank you for having me on.
And give her our best as well. We're definitely here for her if she wants this outlet as well. And she's going through a lot, you know. She's going through a lot when you're not able to use your voice.
I keep thinking like it's okay, like if sometimes it's nice to be strong for everyone else because everybody else in the community is really disappointed she can't sing their songs and their work anymore. But it's also like it's okay for her to grieve. And she's the person who opened Poetic Fest in Vancouver.
I remember, yeah. And yeah. The thing that I keep thinking around that is you're right, it's totally fine. But I also think I remember in the past as well that a lot of times I'm the one who won't grieve because if I do, that well's never going to dry up. So I let other people do it, and I step into that role of saying, oh, no, I'll be here to talk you through it, and, you know, I'll be positive because I don't want to face it. You know what I mean? And not that you're not facing the reality, but just the emotions of it, you know?
Yeah. So that's my one time for saying we're allowed to be sad, and then her new books are going to come out and be totally positive.
I think that's wonderful, and we can't wait to kind of hear and support her any way we can.
So thank you for letting me do a long poem, and thanks for everything.
You've got it. Thank you.
I'm looking at my time going, okay, I'm way over. Michael will be shocked by now.
It's coming 2 weeks from now. It's starting to get real enforced, I have a feeling. All right. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia.
It was a great piece.
It was a great piece. All right. Now we're going to head to a place, a fantastical place called Alabama. And Stan in Alabama, you will need to call us back. I'm so sorry, my friend. It's the way the cards fell. Yet again. It's like getting the same-handed poker every time. All right.
Well,
he'll call back. You know, during big snowstorms like this, do you ever wonder what raccoons are doing?
Sure, yeah.
You do? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You ever wonder, like, where are all those rabbits? Where are they right now?
Oh, they're underneath my driveway.
That's where the rabbits are underground?
Yeah, they're hiding. They're in their holes.
Oh, okay.
Raccoons, they around here, they're either wandering around or they're in the sewers, storm drains.
That sounds really cold, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably really, but they're covered in fur. I mean, that also helps.
Yeah, it helps.
But they're still naked. Let's be honest.
Right.
Yeah. Naked and covered in fur is still not preferable to
cuddle
being
puddles,
in a warm house.
Cuddle puddles, man. Cuddle puddles.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That reminds me why I don't want to be naked out on the streets.
What a conversation for Stan.
This is great. Hey, Stan, how's it going, sir?
It's going.
All right. After that. Well, thank you for thanks for calling back. We really appreciate that. And we were creating interesting banter to kill the time. That's what that was. So why don't we step back? We'll give you the stage, and we'll go from there.
All righty. This is actually a poem that was written off of a quote. And the quote was, "A poet is, before anything else, a person who is passionately in love with language." And that's a quote from W.H. Auden. And the poem I wrote is called The Affair. You had always been there, though at the time not known to me. Gentle tones and raucous roars brought me laughs and serenity. As time moved, my discernment improved. Clarity and purpose came in view. As we moved on through joys and strife, more of life was discovered through you. Through you was gifted self-expression and the gift to communicate. Our union expanding as affection increased, for our collaborations became passionate. You gave me voice and companionship and a love to last me all of my existence. You are the words that now rise from my heart in every lyric, rhyme, and every sentence. And peace.
Very, very nicely done. Wow.
Thank you, sir.
There's a lot. JT, what'd you think, buddy?
Still digesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of where I am, too. I'm just sitting here like, I just want to think about that for a minute. I really enjoyed it. I really did. Thank you.
Ooh, my pleasure. And thank you, gentlemen. This is one of my favorite venues.
We are always so pleased to have you here. And you know it already. I mean, I could say it a million times. You know you're always welcome here, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you all so much. And on to the next.
All right. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon, Stan.
You too.
All right. And that all right. Good night. And that was Stan Kalm from Alabama, home of the free, land of the brave. Home of the brave, land of the free. And the sometimes hungry.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not a lie.
No, it's not.
Everyone who lives in Alabama is hungry.
At some point.
At some point. Yeah. So, there's probably people hungry there right now.
Probably.
From what I've heard, though, Cleveland, there's very few people who are hungry because it's amazingly good food. Mama, we're still having that problem. If you could call us right back, we would appreciate it. You know, I think I have a theory, since we pay attention to the show and the flow of the show.
Yeah.
I think if we figured this part out, it would cut a lot of the time out of the show. What do you think?
It would.
All right, let's figure that out. Hey, Mama, welcome back.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Listening to all the listening to all these great poets, man, changed my piece 5 times. So I'm going to do a poem about my favorite poet, since it's like History Month, that Barb had to remind me of that. And it reminds me of this piece that I'm going to do. It reminds me of now, and been going through with the Democrats and the Republicans. And this poem was written by my favorite poet in the whole world, in the whole lifetime of poetry. His name is Paul Laurence Dunbar. And it just reminds me that people live shorter lives. He accomplished all of this in 33 years. And I'm 72 in March, and I'm still struggling to be heard and read. So that's why I appreciate this program so much. So I was going to do another piece, but you know, we just got limited time. But I think the other piece was about death and how to really understand death and not to long for this long life on this planet. And we can see now that people are really enjoying life and getting the end back in the day when life is shorter. So I'm going to read this piece by Paul Laurence Dunbar after I said all that, because you only have a chance to do two pieces over here. So like, I had to really change my mind. Well, I didn't want to, but I have to. And the name of this piece is called The Lawyer's Ways, and it's in dialect. I've been listening to them lawyers in the courthouse up the street. And I've come to the conclusion that I'm most completely beat. But one fella rears to argue, and he boldly waded in. As he dressed the trembling prisoner in a coat of deep-dyed sand, while he painted him all over in a hue of the blackest crime, and he smeared his reputation with the thickest kind of grime. Can I find myself a-wondering in a misty way and dim how the Lord had come to fashion such an awful man as him? Then the other lawyer started, and with brimming, tearful eyes, said his client was a martyr that was brought to sacrifice. And he gave that same prisoner every blessed human grace till I saw the light of virtue there shining from his face. Then I owned that I was puzzled how such thing could rightly be. And this aggravating question seems to keep a puzzling me. So, will someone please inform me, as this mystery unrolls, how an angel and a devil can possess the same self-same soul. Paul Dunbar, I'm on my older day, G.
Very, very nicely done.
Yeah.
Good piece. Wow. Mama, you just nailed it.
I had to come up with something to be... after I realized I didn't do anything for Black History Month, so he's my favorite. He nails it. I mean, the way he just ran that down, we can just see it going on right now with the Democrats and the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
one comes in and say he's a martyr, he saved the country, he's done all this. Other ones say he's a criminal, he's messing up, he's sinful, he's not right, he doesn't know how to love. Oh, he's crazy. So this Lawyer's Way is the name of the piece, if anybody wants to read it for themselves. And I want to thank you all for letting me share.
Of course. Of course. We're very happy to do that as well. So, Mama, we love you. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time, okay?
All right, then. Have a good, what you call it?
Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's JT. I'll be sitting there on next Friday alone, just sitting in a field by myself and just being like, nobody knows.
Well, you know what? I've heard your story, and you know, you've been through a lot, so you deserve to go out, maybe just sit at the bar, you know, put on your cute little nice outfit, and get your swag on. And
Mama, it's not that, you know, that's just not a possibility. It's that I just get so completely exasperated in that situation. I'm like, yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say, and I know what you want me to say, and now I'm completely bored, and why can't I just be home writing music?
You can get dressed and go out to the top of what they'll call it, those dating bars, and just sit there and kind of look, you know.
I should do? I think if I do that, what I should do is I should stream video just of my face the entire time.
Oh, that'd be great.
You just see like a couple hours of Michael just descending into despair.
No, but listen to Mommy. You put on some skinny jeans and a nice shirt.
Okay, all right. And
go there and look real cool and real sad and just sit there, you know.
Cool and sad, then, okay.
Okay. Happy Valentine's Day. And if nobody else loves you,
I like everybody's encouraging me.
This is great.
All right. Thank you so much, Mama. We love you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Mama Ladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. I know, I'm looking at the chat room too. Swag and guitar. You got this, Michael.
That's right.
Oh. Sit. Yeah, just sit and play. Yeah, I'm going to walk into a bar and just be like, hey, everybody. I just brought a guitar with me here, and
I hope sit you don't down. Mind.
Hope you like the song "Wonderwall." Oh my gosh, I kind of feel like I need to do something ridiculous for Valentine's Day now. Hey, I'll have the shock thing by then.
Oh, that'll be hilarious!
Yes. Would you do me a favor and just shock me?
You just got to give me the information.
Oh, so I know. I could actually get you the app, and then you just tether it.
And just from time to time, just hit it?
Yeah, I'm sure you could. I'm sure there's people who use this for all kinds of weird stuff, which I'm not going to get into. But I'm actually going to use it to try to like work on behavioral stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm going to be interested to see what happens. Yeah, I'll figure it. Everybody, I appreciate so much your dating advice. Thank you very much. All right. But even thank you more for the show this evening and for being here every Friday. We are off, as I said, next week. So JT and Christine can actually go have a romantic evening, okay? So, and I will be playing guitar, wearing skinny jeans, trying to look cool and sad in a field or a bar alone. and actually, I'm totally playing around. We will be back 2 weeks from today. So what is that, the 21st?
Yes, sir.
All right. I know how to do 7 times 3.
It's always good.
The 21st. And we'll be back with a brand new show. And I will be putting out the next 3 clues for our Poet of the Month next week, though. Even though we're not on the air, I'll put it on our website, and I'll also put it on our Facebook page. And then I'll be unveiling the identity when we come back on the 21st. All right. Thank you, everyone. We love you. Thanks for spending the time with us. We've got from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from JT and myself. We love you. We'll see you on the 21st. Until then, keep on writing.